In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It appears that perhaps on Thursdays during this fall quarter, we are considering social problems in Cramer Chapel. Last Thursday, we heard about social justice, considering a text from the Old Testament. Today, we hear from St. Paul in his letter to the church at Corinth about fairness. It's a matter of fairness, says St. Paul. Or a matter of equality, if you prefer that translation. St. Paul urges his hearers to support Christians in need out of the wealth that they have. It is a matter of fairness, Paul says, because your abundance at the present time should supply their need so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. Everything comes out fair. Or equal in the end. You give from your resources now, and when you don't have resources, other Christians will supply your need out of their wealth. If you think that St. Paul is preaching a stewardship sermon, however, he doesn't do a very good job in the end. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. There is no dig down deep until it hurts here. Just give from what you have. But even here, St. Paul takes the edge off of what he says by the first few words in our reading today. I say this not as a command. Then a sentence later he says, and in this matter I give my judgment. So it's not even a command, but ends up as a suggestion, Paul's opinion, in order that the Corinthian Christians might prove by the earnestness of others that their love also is genuine. Things don't seem to be ending up very fair at all. Give out of what you have, but I'm not going to make you give. I want you to give. And this, after the preceding paragraph, which we didn't hear in chapel today, where St. Paul refers to the Christians in Macedonia. In a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord. After putting forward such a prime example as the Macedonian Christians who gave selflessly and even gave beyond their means, Paul ends up talking about charitable giving as a matter of fairness, but it remains a good suggestion and not something the Corinthians have to do. St. Paul has left his stewardship sermon without any oomph at all. Or has he? By picking a verse here and picking another verse there, I can make St. Paul say almost anything I want to. And so far, I have omitted the one verse in our reading today that forms the central portion of St. Paul's thought for the Corinthians and also for us. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. If you want to see grace in action, all you have to do is look at Jesus Christ. God's Son, the second person of the Trinity, had everything. And by that I mean everything. He owned the universe. He had a multitude of angels who could do anything he wished. His wish was their command. But for your sake, he changed all that. He became poor. He gave up all that he had as God, putting it aside, becoming poor, even initially unable to take care of himself. As a baby in Mary's womb, as an infant, he depended completely upon others to supply his daily needs. If his earthly parents had not cared for him, he would have died. Jesus Christ went from being master of the universe to being completely dependent on others. He did that for your sake. He gave everything up so that you could have everything. Jesus Christ did this knowing that none of you could manage to save yourself. None of us needs to look very far to find where we fall short of God's expectations for us. I would not have known about coveting if the law had not commanded me not to covet, says St. Paul. And he was right. We are surrounded by people who can't wait to get the new shiny thing of the week. Which of us does not feel a twinge of desire when the new shiny iPhone appears, or the new shiny car model, or the new shiny everybody has it item? If I haven't picked the particular item that catches your attention, you can fill in the blank with your own new shiny. And if you can't fill in that blank, do not take pride in the fact that covetousness does not have a hold on you, for then you have fallen into the sin of self-pride and hubris, and that is as much against God's commandment as is covetousness. It's a vicious circle of sin followed by other sin. The only way to break that circle is for have someone from outside the circle break into it and come into it. And Jesus Christ did that by giving up all his riches and becoming poor for your sake. For your sake, he took all your sins upon himself, suffering in his own body on the cross the penalty for those sins. For your sake, he let Satan and death defeat him, so that Satan and death could not defeat you and would have no power over you. For your sake, he showed once and for all by his resurrection that Satan and death could not ultimately defeat him and have the last word, but that they were the defeated ones. For your sake, he gave you all his riches in baptism, washing you with the water of regeneration, that you might be his own. This would be the ultimate unfairness if Jesus Christ had not chosen to do this. Give up all his riches so that you might become rich in his place. This was not, however, something forced upon him. Jesus Christ willingly took upon himself the form of a servant and was born as a human. Jesus Christ willingly took upon himself your sins and suffered and died for those sins and for your sake, because you could not have done it on your own. You couldn't have done it with a little help from your friends. You couldn't have done it with a lot of help from your friends, or even a lot of help from God himself. You could not have saved yourself. It is because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, as St. Paul tells us, that you are here today. It is because of the grace of Jesus that you have a heavenly abode with our Lord and Savior. Jesus showed us what being a servant looks like. He didn't just lecture us or write a book about being a servant. He lived a servant's life. And it is by reflection of Christ's own servanthood and by the power of the Holy Spirit that we ourselves serve others. Serving others may mean supplying their financial needs. As seminary students, that may not be easily possible, but that's all right. St. Paul did say, I say this not as a command. There are, however, many other ways in which each of us can serve others through our own actions and lives. We get to reflect our Lord's own servant ways in our daily Christian lives. Our Lord served us. We get to serve others. Our prayer to God is, Lord, help us walk your servant way. May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ bless our meditation as we sing and pray, Lord, help us walk your servant way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.